All right, well, let's pray. Lord, you have blessed us to operate as a church here in this class and within the protection and love and care of Briarwood Church, Lord, and we pray we would serve well and serve each other. Thank you that that's true. We do pray for, but it's just so much. When these things come up, these scary infections and wildfires and just all the evidences of the curse, we know that you also have your plan. Curse is part of it, and your redemption is part of it, and your protection and restoration. And so we may not know exactly the whys, but we know that you are in control and that you are doing things for your glory, for perfection, and for your church. So Lord, we just pray for those of us and those who are particularly in some of these extreme needs, that we would see your hand and your purpose and your love supernaturally. Even Hunter this very morning probably feels very isolated, would feel that, and our love for him and your love for him. I thank you for our time together, for Tim and Peggy's service, amazing service to this church and to this class, and for Tim being willing to teach us. I pray that you would teach through him this morning, and I pray in Christ's name, amen.
Always the best commitment. Okay. I don't want to get that too close. Does it sound okay? Yeah. All right. Well, I want to echo what Lita Sue said, because our little girl is out there 1 mile from the fire. She moved out there on January 2nd, and just in time for all this to happen. She this week we were talking to her every day, and she wasn't in an evacuation zone, but she was very close to one. And so I think it's just like Mary Beth. And she wanted to stay there, but I finally talked her into driving down to near the LAX airport, down the 405, because I could see on the map that the evacuation line was close to the 405 interstate. And that's one of the busiest interstates in the country. And the winds had died down. That's the only reason we didn't fly her home. But then the winds are picked up yesterday. And you know, the interstate is a block, is, you know, will inhibit the spread of the fire unless the winds are 40, even 50 miles an hour, and it can blow embers across interstate easily. So then we were going to fly her home because the winds picked up again. We were going to fly her home yesterday. And then she, gosh, I hope that's nothing about Neely, is it? Okay. But she has a friend who has a place near LAX, and, they said she could come and stay there, for, you know, a week or for a number of days. So she's there now and she's safe, and we're thankful for that. We'd feel a little bit better if she was at our house. So we can pray for Neely and for Mary Beth, really in the thick of it. And from the place she's staying now, she took a video. She showed us a video out. So she drove 20 minutes down the interstate. So she was that far away. She was only a mile from the evacuation zone, and the cloud was incredible of smoke that was above there. So she was just almost in it, as Mary Beth was. So, and there are plastics that are burning and melting and smoke. So anyway, let's just really continue to pray for them. Okay, we're going to continue our study of Ephesians today, and I'm just going to do just a little bit of an introduction, and then we're going to do something different. So I apologize for those who are here for the first time, because I mean, you don't have to participate, okay, but we are going to have some applications sections of the talk. And so there'll be, I'll talk a little bit before, and I'll talk about a little bit afterwards to summarize it. But there are going to be 13 questions, topics, and we're not going to divide up and talk, okay? So, and if nobody says anything, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And, but I'm not going to say anything. So it'll be a very short lesson. And maybe that's why you won't say anything. There'll be 13 kind of topics where we'll try to make practical application of these verses. So we're following. We're not going through every verse in Ephesians, but we're, you know, we did a section chapter 1, we did a section chapter 2, sections chapter 3, and last week a section chapter 4. And this week we're doing one more section in 4 and one in 5. And if I teach, I don't even know whether I'm teaching again next week. Did John leave? Oh, okay. Does anybody know if he's teaching next week? No. That's why we're so glad we have a little bit better structure now, because John and I, not so good at that. He's actually much better than I am. Okay. Not any better than I am with the chainsaw. Which I know I shouldn't even get off on this, but, you know, the class has been, The class has been going for 38 years, I guess. So, Peggy's dad called, John and I in his office at the old Briarwood church. And he said, Don and Tim, this is before I knew Peggy existed. He said, Don, Tim, I think we need a new Sunday school class. Y'all didn't laugh enough. That's what Frank said. And so we need a place where people join the church can first come to the class and y'all do maybe 5 or 6 lessons, and then people can go off and go to different classes. And he said, would y'all be interested in doing that? Well, I mean, when Frank asks you to do something, what are you going to say? Yeah. Nah, we don't like that idea. So anyway, we started it, and we met in his office, and I'll never forget the first group that came in, maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 people. And, you know, it went pretty well. It was pretty well prescribed. But that's how the discovery class, started. The only issue with it is it didn't accomplish its goal because people didn't leave. And then it just kept expanding, and this is the way it is now. We couldn't meet where we used to meet when we first moved over here, because we met as you walk in the sanctuary in the lot. Do you call it the lobby? We call that. But I grew up in the Episcopal Church, so we call it the narthex, I think. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we met in the, I think it was a 3rd grade school class.
We might have got promoted to 5th grade.
5th grade, okay. And the chairs in there were desks. And so everybody stood up for the whole time before class. And they say, okay, everybody's got to sit down. And then everybody squash into their things. Anyway, but we had a great time. And yes. Good point. And yeah, getting out would be a problem. Well, I'll just say one more thing. And then we moved to another place downstream. And the only issue with that was, even though it was a bigger room, there was a Coke machine in there. And literally, we would be up teaching and somebody would come in and just
don't fall out.
Oh, dude, what do you think? No. But we, anyway. So anyway, we're so thankful that people wanted to stay, and it is. John Haynes said, it's our church. I mean, I mean, we love the other classes and we love, the church as a whole, but we love this class, and are so thankful for it. Okay. So we're going to start, and the first thing we're going to do is just, read Ephesians 3:14 through 21. I read this last week, but it's a good introduction to what we're going to talk about next, because it lays the foundation. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Bible that I mentioned maybe last week or 2 weeks ago. Anyway, actually, we're going to read, Ephesians 3:14 through 21. Okay, so this is Paul addressing the Ephesian Christians. So they're believers already. But he's, as you know, he's encouraging them to grow deeper in their relationship with Christ. And as we said last week, we can all, it doesn't matter how mature you are or how mature you think you are, there's an eternity of growth and depth of our relationship with the Lord. And it's not going to stop here. If we died tonight, then we'll have all eternity to grow in our relationship with Christ and our maturity and our understanding of his incredible love for us. Remember we said that he considers us his inheritance. That is mind boggling. I mean, it's like John said, he felt like their group adopted him. We all need to be adopted. We are adopted into God's family. And he will spend the rest of eternity helping us understand how valuable we are to him. That it's just mind boggling. I mean, to me, it's mind boggling that there are, trillions of stars and that they're out there for all, or an infinite distance that we can't even know. And we get these pictures from the new cameras of the universe. And you just think, so immense and so complex. And the mathematics that was required that flows from the physical laws that determine how all of matter moves, that's God's creation. He is the mathematician. He knows all things. And, you know, the fact that we can send a spaceship to Mars. Well, how do we know where Mars is going to be in the whatever it is? How long does it take to get to Mars? I forgot. Several years. Yeah. And, well, you know, you don't aim at it and go right now, but you have to know where it's going to be. Well, the reason you know where it's going to be is because of mathematics. And the reason you can do mathematics is because of all the physical laws of the universe that God made. And then you look out at the universe and it's just mind boggling. And then you look inside a cell. And we talked about this before. You have 3 billion letters of DNA that you inherit from your mom and 3 billion that you inherit from dad. So you have 6 billion letters and you can have a severe genetic disorder like sickle cell disease, which is one letter. One letter you inherit from mom, one letter from dad. So there's 2 letters out of 6 billion that are wrong. And you have this horrible disease. And so it's amazing that any of us are ever healthy anytime. And we just need to live in all of that. We need to be able to go outside and look at the Milky Way and just be in awe of God and have that deepen and give us the desire to know him better and love him more and to know others better and love them more. But if you ever get a chance to look inside a cell, do it. If you ever get a chance to sequence some DNA, and if you don't get a chance to do that, you can do it on YouTube. And it's just mind-boggling. So So we should all just constantly be in God's awe, just about his incredible power, his knowledge, his wisdom, but also his love and his mercy and his grace and his love for us. And he created us so that we could know him, so that we could talk to him, so that he can talk to us through the scripture. I've never heard God talk personally out loud to me, but I can tell you, I mean, even this morning, just learn stuff studying this. Just, and we can do that. We have the privilege of doing that every day. And we have the privilege of being confused and then be enlightened. You know, our theme verse is, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you might know the hope that is in you. God's in the enlightening business. And it's like an education. I mean, you don't go to the first calculus class and understand everything. It's a process, and it's hard, and you gotta work at it. But everything that's worthwhile is like that. And then we can all, just like we do in other areas of life, where you work hard and that there's dignity and hard work, and then you begin to understand, and then you'd be able to have new ideas and that can help others. And, but it's the same thing in our spiritual walk. We have to work. And today we're going to talk about what our responsibility is. And I always like to think about this is, you know, God has, you can't even put your arms wide enough to say how much he does. And you can't put your fingers close enough together to say what our responsibilities are. And even those are under his sovereignty, but they are there. And, we're going to talk about them today. And there are 13 categories, and everybody's going, I know at least one great application is going to come out for each one. Okay. So, all right. Start off Ephesians 3:14. This time I'm going to read it and we're going to go on. Okay. Ephesians 3:14. When I think, again, this is New Living Bible. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. This is Paul talking, but of course it's God talking to us. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. It's hard for me to read this part. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So in these verses, Paul is praying that we might experience the love of Christ even more fully than we do right now. Every one of us sitting in this room right now. And that by knowing how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is, we'll have the strength and courage and power to focus our attention on him and on others, even in the most difficult times of our life. That's the glorious message. And then he says in verse 20, Ephesians 3, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. And you might be sitting here today and think, well, maybe you don't think really God loves you that much. Maybe there's something deep and dark in your background. Well, there's something deep and dark in all of our backgrounds. And, and think, well, I can't do that. You may want to do it and think you can't do that. That is not true about anybody in this room. And I thank the Lord every day. It's not true about me. There's nothing that we could have done or said or thought that will separate us from the love of Christ. He loves us that much. So we then say, if we continue to grasp these great truths throughout our lives in different circumstances, easy and hard, we will be able to accomplish the applications listed below in Ephesians 4, 22 through 32. Okay, so now to the applications. The first thing I'll just read is Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. So Paul is praying that the Ephesian Christians I pray that you put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. I don't know if anybody else has had deceitful desires, but I have. And so I'm not going to talk about them today. But, you know, maybe you can. Maybe there's something that could be shared publicly. Although we will never fully fulfill these responsibilities, because they are our responsibilities in these 13 areas, and our efforts to fulfill them will never be sufficient for our own salvation, God calls us to work diligently to make significant progress in these areas each year. This is the start of 2025. No better time. Okay, so here they are, starting in Ephesians 4, 25. Okay, so while you listen to the questions, think about what you might share that would help enlighten what God means in this. And again, if we don't have any applications, that's fine, but Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And so my question is, what's the application of that? What do you think that means? Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We'll have a little awkward sign. Okay, Stuart. Now, that's a great point. I was having dinner with somebody recently. Who was part of an institution, and he and his wife were there, and they said, you know, we're going to leave this institution and we're going to go somewhere else because, too many people, when we talk to them, are looking past us to see something else. We don't know what they're looking at. We don't know who they're looking at, but it happens too many times. Let that not be true here. We need to look at each other in the eyes, and we need to focus our attention when we're having a conversation. And conversations are the stuff of life. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit talk all the time. They encourage each other all the time. We need to do the same. Yeah.
Heard somebody say one time without a verb and all you have is an opinion.
Yeah.
I've been around people that the scripture just comes out of them now all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's true. Yes, Steve.
I think very few people in this class would ever admit that they would deliberately lie. So it kind of goes beyond that. But we have a lot of conversations about different topics. It could be about science or public policy or politics or stuff. And a lot of rumors get passed on, a lot of hearsay, a lot of things get told that are clearly untrue, but we actually may believe that we're true. They're true. And I think if we're passing on rumors, we're not off the hook just because we believe that it's true. I think we have a certain responsibility to make sure that the things we're accepting as true actually are true. Mm-hmm. Do our own fact checking, do due diligence for saying things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because words do matter. So thank you, Steve.
Very good.
Okay, that's great. Fantastic. Oh, gee, man, this is unbelievable. Exceeding my expectations.
Now, this person is going to think about this if I say what's really in my heart. Mm-hmm. If they're not a believer. So I tend to give a very reasonable secular answer.
Right, right. Well, God wants us to be tough and tender. And there's no immediate prescription for that. That's why we have to cry out to God all the time. Lord, teach me how to be tough. When I need to be tough, teach me how to be tender when I need to be tender. And in all those relationships, friendships, family, marriage, children, it's hard. Just the fact that you struggle to think, what should I say? What should I not say? I want to be tender. I want to be tough. And we need to pour our hearts out to the Lord all the time. And we need to evaluate our conversations when we leave. I mean, I don't mean evaluate every, but what did this person think about me? But we need to say, well, could I have said that better? Yeah, I could probably have said that. Could I have not said that at all? Maybe that would have been better. Yes, that's true. But also, could I have been more direct? And in the end, people learn by you being direct. Not immediately. But anyway, yes.
I don't think that
there's
anything wrong with
being
direct. I've had people who need to speak to me that is not comfortable to me, but I need to hear that person.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful there are people spiritually in my life who will call me out and correct something for them, but they need even love. You know, when you have those conversations there, we can gather an idea around you and study scripture and you can correct something over else, but we don't understand a lot of
people. Mm-hmm. That's good. There's only so much we can do by circling things around in our own mind. We need outside input. Like this time, many, many, many years ago when there was a big tornado down here in Tuscaloosa. So John and I and some guys went down there and, we were on top of a house with chainsaw and, cutting stuff. And then the guys who were in charge of the whole thing. I mean, people, maybe from the national people came in. Get off that road. Are you crazy? Are you stupid? And then we look down and the roofs are falling in and we got a chainsaw up there. And we go, good point. I guess I am stupid. So I will get down. You remember that?
Yes, I did.
God. So I've done so many stupid.
We needed training.
We needed training big time. That's why I said double bonus. Yeah. So Actually, the only safe way is not put one in my hands. But I can go and pick up stuff y'all cut down. So, okay, that was great. I don't know if we'll get there all
week. Pick 13.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I really thought it could not go well. Okay, next one, verse 26-27, Ephesians 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So does anybody have anything they like to say about that? I think what he's saying, that you do give an opportunity to Satan himself, the author of evil, if the sun goes down on their anger. Did anybody ever let the sun go down on their anger? I can probably think of personal stories about all of these bad ones. I mean, so, gosh, 2 minutes? Seriously? Okay, here. Okay, go back. I'm going to go through all the questions, and I just, would you go home and think about them? I mean, you can spend time and think, yeah, I need to think about that. Yeah. I can send it out. Is that okay, Sam? Okay. I'm then just going to go through. All right, because I want to get to the very end. Okay, be angry, do not sin, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Application, ? Okay, next. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Application, ? Okay, we're not going to talk about any of these things. You don't have time. And now with Sam and Beth, we can't communicate anything with everybody else. No. Okay. Next one. 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Okay. Application. 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Application of that. That's a little harder. I just have a quote here from James Montgomery Boyce on this. He says that the task of the Holy Spirit is to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, and that he, the Holy Spirit, is grieved if that's not happening. That is the best sentence on that topic I've ever heard. So anyway, maybe it's because I don't know that much, but anyway, I thought it was pretty good. 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. There's a lot about speech in here. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Application. Next one. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. 16, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Things are not getting better and better. The general trend is for things to degrade, and that happens everywhere. It's just second law of thermodynamics. You know, we can't change that. Okay, 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I think John and many of the musicians in this room help us do that so, so well. 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we do that? 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That is putting others first. Not me first. God. Every time I give us an application, I can't, not tear up. But again, our son is an Army Ranger and, you know, he was in Afghanistan twice. He's tough dude. Y'all saw him here a couple weeks ago. And there are others in the class whose children were in the military and others who were in the military. But we go to these ranger things at the end, and when they finish ranger school, the same thing, but they repeat it every year, in Columbus, Georgia, and the whole regiment is standing there. Just, you see all these young guys. I mean, if you think that the, youth now, we don't have a chance in America, you need to see these graduating class, man, and they're standing there at attention. And, when they, pledge allegiance to the flag, they do it wholeheartedly. And then they say the Ranger Pledge. And the line that I just can't even, keep under control is then one group will say, "No man left behind." And then this group says, "No man left behind." And then they, the third group says, and we just need to know there is so much hope in our country, and so many young people are great, but there are also people in the military that are young kids, your kids, doing, incredible things, incredible ministries. But anyway, we submit to each other in love. We put, and I said this last time, the only way, and now he's gone and he's doing this, there's his first class of Ranger School where he's directing it. And it's in the mountain school in Georgia. And, he showed it, Peggy and I went there, and he showed us the cliffs that mimic the cliffs at Point Du Hoc where they scaled up. That, those Rangers scaled up. That's before there were any other special forces here. There were, and that's what they did. And that's where they're training them. And, this is just so good, but we need to realize that we need to have that same courage and strength and endurance in our everyday lives that they're training them to have. And we can do that. We can do that. Okay. Voices summary is, then on, Ephesians 5:1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. So can you be an imitator of God in such an eternal love as that? The answer, if we look only to ourselves, is no. No, we cannot. Nothing that is natural to us is eternal, or forgiving or giving either, for that matter. But the answer is yes, if we look to God, the very man who wrote this, and then who wrote, that is Paul, that the Lord through Paul, and Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Okay. Well, the last part I'll do next week. Okay. Let's end the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're amazed at your grace. We're so thankful for your love for us, for your mercy, for your loving kindness. And Lord, we pray that we would exude all those same characteristics, to the others around us, for those who know and love you and for those who don't know you yet, Lord, and we pray that our lives would reflect, how much we value, them, like you do. And so we pray that our words and our actions, would communicate that, and that people would be attracted to you, through us by your grace, that you even give us the opportunity to be involved, in the lives of others and draw them to yourself. Lord, thank you, for this class. Pray that you bless each person and all of their relationships. In Jesus, we pray that in your great name. Amen.